Good morning, everyone. 早上好，早安。Thank you for bear with me every time I teach you some Chinese, teach some Mandarin. So we all learn some, pick up some Mandarin. Maybe I'll learn some French from you. Maybe I'll learn some Spanish from you. Right. So this morning, I'm going to share a topic, knowing God, knowing Him. Not only believe in Him, but knowing Him. I'm going to share from Psalm 95. I'm going to share from my own life. How did I get to know God personally? And He is all-knowing God. And how He set up a plan for my life. And I believe He has a plan. He has a big, big plan for your life as well. Amen. And He has a plan for your sons and your daughter's life and your friend's life, many, many others' life. Not only He has a plan for your life, but He wants us to know Him. He wants us to respond to Him personally. Respond. Everybody say respond. Respond, respond to Him. As I'm teaching my children, my children about God. I know it's not easy for me personally to connect with God. So a lot of time I want my children to repeat what I say. And I talk to my older son. My older son, by the way, he was just baptized a couple of weeks ago. Thank you. Thank you for your prayer and your support. And a lot of time I feel he doesn't connect with God. Still, after baptism, I still think he needs to connect better. I tell him, David, many of your name may be David, but I say, David, repeat after me. God, he said, God, I love you, I love you. And I know he only repeat after me. I said, I repent. He said, I repent. But a lot of times he said, you cannot make me. And I know I cannot make him anymore because he's 13. He knows what's going on. He can choose himself. But a lot of times as a parent, you want your children to choose the way you want them to choose. Amen, parents? Say, how come you don't choose this way? This is the way, the truth, and the life. And go this way, you will get life. Right? Like Moses, talk to Israelites. Say, choose this way, you'll get life. And choose this way, you will have death. Lay it out for them. So our God is a loving God. He doesn't manipulate us. So go this way, you'll have a cake. Go this way, even though God does give us a promise, but he doesn't manipulate us. But as parents, a lot of times we are tempted to make our children to go a certain way we want them to go. But God wants us to respond to him, to know him personally. That's what I experienced in my life. So I'm going to talk about first things, we got to respond to God. And he's all-knowing God. He plans. He set up a big plan for our life. Second thing I'm going to talk about is he's our shepherd. He's our shepherd. We are his sheep in his pastures. He's our shepherd. So he wants to establish the loving relationship with him. It's not just knowing God, knowing the law. So when I was young, I grew up in a Christian family, Christian environment. Everything is safe and clean. Do you like that? I like my children. You know, my older boy, I just talked about just already. His name is David. And he grew up in a Christian school. And then when we moved to Canada 5 years ago, that's what the time I come to the church, our church, RPC. And we didn't know, when we moved here, we didn't know any Christian school here. We want to send him to Christian school, right? This is good environment and good people, good teachers, godly teachers, right? But unfortunately, we didn't find one at that time. And we did not want to send him there yet. So we sent him to public school. Is it good? Yes, it's good. Both Christian school and public school are good. Amen? Otherwise, I might offend someone. But both are good. But the issue is, my son used to be in Christian school for many years. And he's so used to this clean and good environment. So and so good environment. And nobody will challenge you, nobody will fight you physically and stuff. Suddenly he is in public school. And after the first day of his public school experience, he came back home. And I say, son, what about the public school? He say, everybody is mean. I say, what? No. I say, no, son, you got to learn how to relate with people. It's not about people. It's how you relate with others. So, and he get to learn the way that it's not comfortable anymore. It's not a set environment anymore. It's not the ideal environment anymore. It's not the environment he's supposed, everyone is so nice to him, is everyone is treat him the way he want him to be treated. Do you know what I mean? So he learned for many years, and we put him in a public school, and he get to taste the difference between Christian school and public school. And he's learned the process. That's how God trained me in life. So let's look at Psalm 95 first, and we will go along with what we will be talking about today. All right. If you can read that with me together, that'd be great. Let's read it. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Do not harden your heart as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah, in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I say, they are a people whose heart go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Well, that's very heavy, right? Because God is a loving God, but God at the same time is a justice God. He could not bear any sin. He cannot bear any misbehavior in our lives. This is what our God is. But we often like our God is a loving God, merciful God. and tenderness God. And when we talk about God as a justice God, no, that's not who God is. When I was in college, I used to share with my friend the gospel, you know, and this is the mistakes I made. I hope you are not making this mistake, or you have never made this mistake. And I share the gospel with a person from mainland China. And I say, God, our God is a loving God. He loves you very much. He died on the cross for you. And he will never let you go. Am I right? Am I right? Right? And I only talked to him about half of the gospel. And I didn't tell him about how God is a justice God. So, you know, he believed in God. He baptized. And he finished, we all both graduated from college. He went on for life. And he's still a Christian. And I believe he's a Christian. But I think I forgot to tell him God is a justice God. So when he wants to find a job later on in his life, and he couldn't find a job because his major, he had a doctoral degree. So doctoral degree, he's supposed to find a job, good job, right? But he couldn't find a job anywhere. He was in L.A. I was in L.A. that time. And he started complaining about God. And he starts saying, God, why didn't you give me a good job? You are not doing a good job. I just couldn't bear with you. And I can sense that he's slowly drifting away from God. But I want to say that it's probably not totally my fault. It's probably part of his thought. He thinks God is the God I think should help me find a job. If he doesn't, if he cannot, he's not a God who can help me. So he's drifting away from God. But I think Holy Spirit reminds me that when you lead him to Christ, you probably should have talked to him. God is also the God of justice. God is also the God who is helping you and also purify you. Amen? So God on both sides. So Israelites, when they were in the wilderness for 40 years, they are wandering around because of their disobedience, right? Do we disobey God? No, never. How many of you have never disobeyed God? Close your eyes. I have learned, personally, I have learned to obey God every day. Every moment of my life. It's so hard. But it could be easy. How many of you think, you don't need to raise your hands, how many of you think obey God is easy? Okay, it's not easy. The same with Israelites. They want to obey God, but they don't know God personally. It's not easy. But God will draw his people unto him. So in verse 7, can we back up a little bit, please? So when verse 7, he talked about, back up the slide. Go back two slides. Six. Yes. Okay, so for he is our God, we are the people of his pastures. Okay, so here says, he says, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. And he says, today, okay, I might miss that part, sorry. Today, if only you would hear his voice, today. And God will talk to us today. And God is not talking to us 20 years ago. God is talking to us today. Today. Today, right now. Today. Every moment of our life, he will talk to us. And why we couldn't hear him? Because a lot of time we are not ready to obey him. So why, say, a lot of people say, God, why can I hear you? But when we are ready, when we are ready to respond to him, and he will talk to us, and you'll hear his voice. When you hear his voice, you'll feel very excited. And you'll feel connected, and you'll feel responding to him. Amen? You'll feel you wanted to respond to him. He's not the God of the universe only. He's the God of Stephen's God. He's God of David's God. He's God of Val's God. He is the God of Chelsea's God. He's personal God. He's not God out there and in heaven only. He is the God of our life. Personal life. Connecting with us. He wants us to respond to him all the time. And he loves us. And every day, I'm sure that, like, maybe your son and daughter or your brother and sister, when you see them, you love them, you just want to give them a hug, right? This is how our God is. He wants to give us a hug every day, every moment, if we allow him, right? If we will allow him, he wants us to respond to him. But a lot of time, maybe we react to him. Do we? Maybe we will react to him, like Israelites react to him. Right? Harden their heart, as they did at Meribah. Because we don't know God enough. Right? So I taught my son. Right now I say, son, you need to pray to God every day, like very intimate relationship with God. You need to. I tell my son, I say, you need to pray to God. Prayer is the very important part in your life as a Christian walk. As you just baptized, it's very important. My son is probably upstairs somewhere. Okay. Say, very important. And my wife just asked me a question. You know, my wife a lot of times is my Holy Spirit. My wife is in there translating for me this morning. So she can hear me. So she said, when you were young, how many minutes did you pray every day? I hate this question, you know. I don't like this question. I don't like challenging. Especially I don't like challenging from my wife. How many of you as a husband, you like challenge from your wife? Amen. I need to learn from you. Okay. Oh, a lot of time I don't like, but I know, a lot of times from God. Even though I don't like it, but I harden my heart like Israelites. But God says it's good for you because my wife always makes me think. Everybody say think. Think and pause. That's how my wife did to me. So my wife asked me, how many minutes did you pray every day in your life as a Christian? When you were young. And I say, 1 minute. I said, no, 2 minutes, including somebody else asked me to pray, including my teacher asked me to pray. And he said, what about that 1 minute? What kind of things did you pray? And I say, that 1 minute, I pray to God because my parents asked me to. And my wife say, why did your parents ask you to pray? I said, because I made troubles. So I remember. And then my parents asked me to go to my room and pray. And I went to my room. I pray, God, what did I do wrong? And that's it. I don't know what to pray. I don't know him. He's out there. He's my parents' God. He's not my God. So when my wife reminded me of this, I knew it immediately. How can I teach my children? I should pray to God. He could respond to him personally. And God will show up there to him personally in his life. It's not what I can do. Amen? A lot of times I want to squeeze him. I want to, just say, that's a lot of things about God. Why didn't you respond to him? And he react to me. He says, you cannot make me. Did you like to hear that when you, as a parent? You cannot make me. All right. That's how Israelites was. That's what we were. That's what I was when I was young. But God wants us to respond to him, to see how great our God is. How great is our God. When I was young, I sing this song, how great is our God. Sing with you, how great is our God. How great is our God. This is how I sing. But when I get to know God, how great is our God. Amen? Amen? That's probably you are. That's what you are today. That you know him personally. You can respond to him strongly, intimately. And because God can give you strength like nobody can. Because I know I cannot accompany with my son forever. I know it. So the most wonderful thing for me to do is give my son unto God's hand. Secure, secure, secure. So that's what Israelites, hardened their heart, gone astray, but God is faithful. God is faithful. Lead them back. So many of you, your son and your daughter, when they had teenager years, when they may be 20s, maybe 30s, maybe 40s, they may have gone astray. Right? They may have gone astray. But please don't lose your heart, brother and sister, my dear brother and sister. Please don't lose your heart. God is faithful. How God has led through the Israelites from 40 years, 80 years, 120 years, until 1948, he's been faithful to lead his people back to his promised land. This is how God is. That's who God is in Israelites, also with us. He's loving God. He always awaits us to respond to him. He always awaits. He may a lot of time in tears, just like we await our son and daughter in tears. He awaits us. He's so patient. He's so loving. Of course, he's justice God. He's justice God. He will bring consequence. Always consequence. Our son and daughter might have suffered the consequence in their lives. But a lot of time, consequences are good, because consequence can make us learn things, can maybe make us painful, but consequence will awake us. But God is a gracious God. He will bring us back. Okay, Romans 8:28. So can we all read it? We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So God has his purpose on us. Whatever happened in our life, in our son and daughter's life, he has his whole purpose. Maybe we want to fix it. A lot of times we want to fix it. But a lot of times we cannot fix it. It's too late to fix it, because it's all in God's hands. God knows what's happened. So Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. Hallelujah. We will seek him with all our heart. You know, I just share, I grew up in the environment which is very safe, very secure, and very comfortable. But I don't want to say I complain that I grew up in this environment. And one day, something happened. One day, when I was 17, and I failed in my high school entrance test. When I was in Taiwan, also in China, I think, that everybody needs to go through the high school entrance test exam. And also everybody needs to go through the university entrance test. So if you pass this test, you can go to high school. You can go into the university. So I failed when I was 17. I failed. I totally failed. And I was it's so hurt in my heart, because in my whole life, my parents helped me, uphold me, going through a lot of troubles. Did you hear that? My parents helped me go through a lot of frustrations. But this was the first time I had frustration in my life. Big. For me, it was very, very big. And it gave me, awake me. So from that time, I start calling God. For all the 17 years, I had many communions. I sing in the choirs, and I read the Bibles, but I never know God. I never want to know him, because I really don't know him. But this event, when I was 17, this hit big. I bumped on a big rock. I should say, put both way. I bumped on a rock, frustration. But the same time, I bumped on the rock, big rock, Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is a frustration in my life, but I start thinking about my life. What's going on in my life? Who am I? Where am I going? What should I do in my life? I start asking myself this question. So I start seeking God. Oh my heart. Because I hit this big rock. I praise God. A lot of time we have frustration, and we have maybe something happened in our life, maybe in our daughter's life, in our son's life, we as a parents, we think it's bad for them. We better fix it. We better help it. We better buy a lot of cake for him. We better buy a lot of pumpkin pie for him. We better, you know, just buy air conditioning for him to cool down, right? But God says, they will seek me and they will find me. When they seek me with all their heart, they will find me. Until we seek God with all our heart, we will find him. And 14 says, He will be found by us, declares the Lord, and will bring us back from captivity. Captivity symbolizes the frustration and the big things in our lives. Captivity is a big thing in Israelites' life. Very, very big. For them, it's very big hurt because they have to go away from their home, their familiar place, to go to Babylon. Babylon is thousands or thousands of miles away. And that's painful, very painful. But God says, I'm faithful. I am faithful. I will bring you back from captivity. I will bring you back from captivity. Even though that was a disaster. But my hope for you, it's not to harm you, but give you a hope and a future. That's what the book of Jeremiah we just read. So second thing goes on verse 7 we just read. He's our shepherd. In the Bible, God described us to be his sheep. Right? We are his sheep. And because in the Old Testament time, the sheep is very common in every household. The sheep is also very familiar to every Israelite because they are required by God to use the sheep as the burnt offering. So in the Old Testament time, they will bring, of course, there's other animals. But sheep, okay, has anybody seen sheep? Sheep, the real sheep. Every time I go to Pastor Jim's office, I see a lot of sheep. Sometimes I want to steal one. Okay, so it's because they're so cute. Okay, so sheep. Sheep is their offering to God. But remember, when they offer to God, it's not, okay, sheep, go, 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 go to God. I'm so happy you can go to God. Remember, how many of you have pets in your home? Pets, dog and, okay, many of you. If God says, offer your pets to me. And say, okay, no problem, go. Go away, you're too noisy every day in my home. That's very good, just go. You probably will not do that. When you send your sheep to be the burnt offering, your heart must have something that you want to hold on to, right? So when Israelites, they bring the burnt offering before God. That's the animal they feed them, they see them, they even talk to them every day. They have a relationship with them. When I was in Taiwan, I immigrated here in Canada in 1991. So up to this year, I've been here in Canada, also in North America for 25 years. And I was in Taiwan for 25 years. So I now is 40 years old. So anyway, so you are awake. So anyway, where am I? Okay, so when I was in Taiwan, we have a pet. It was, what's that called? My pet called Pomeranian. 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 We're so cute, so cute. Pomeranian. You know, every time we bring the dog outside, and then a lot of people, oh, so cute. And we have him for many years, but we immigrant. 1991, November 11, 10, November 10. That's the day we need to immigrant to Canada. So I'm not complaining about Canada, but my parents told me that you guys, I have four brothers and sisters. My parents say, you cannot bring this dog to Canada because we're not going to bring him on the plane and stuff like that. So we're going to say bye to him. You know, it's so cruel. Just like Israelites, you know, bring the animal to be the burnt offering. Oh, so. And then what happened was my parents sell this dog to somebody who has a grocery store, who opened a grocery store. And just several days before we immigrated to here, and I saw the dog. We already sold the dog to the person who has the grocery store. And I sold my dog. That's my dog. That's my Pomeranian. And he barked. He barked at everyone who passed by. And they just put it outside of their grocery store. And I just say, that's not the case. They should take good care of him, you know. But I could not help, because I am not the master of this Pomeranian anymore. I don't have anything, but I just wave at him. I wave. I cannot pet because I know, you know, the new master might think I want to steal the dog back or something. Right? I do not touch him. So I just wave at him, and he bark at me. It seems that he knows me. He knew me because I fed him, and I give him a bath. And I talk to him, even though he doesn't talk back to me. I talk to him. I touch him. Sometimes I tease him. I had a relationship with him. Everybody say relationship. Relationship. Important relationship with him. So Israelites, when they are ready to give the offering, it's not easy because they know it cost. It cost. God gave the Israelites a lesson that sin cost. Amen? God wants to speak to Israelites. Sin cost. Cost something. It's not costing an animal's life. It costs a relationship. It costs an intimate relationship. So when I had that experience, we had to say bye. I have to say bye to my cute dog. I have to say bye to him. I do not want to let him go. But when Israelites would bring their sheep and their cow and their bulls, whatever the offering was, you know, in the temple, when the priest was ready to kill the animal, it was just the knife is just cutting your heart. Ouch, right? It was like that. It was very hard on me. I'm sure on you too, if you have a pet or if you have a son, you need to send your son, your daughter to United States and to other provinces. It costs. It costs a relationship. It's how God is with us. He's our shepherd. We are his sheep. It costs him. It caused his son, Jesus Christ, to die and pay the price for us. So every time the Israelites bring the offering to the altar, to the temple, to the altar, and it reminds the Israelites, and it reminds us that sin costs us. Sin costs God. Sin costs God everything. Our sin is not God's problem. It's my problem. It's our problem that costs God everything. Costs his beloved son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Let's give him a big prize. Give it him. Sin costs him everything. 1 John, please. 1 John, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loves us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's how all God's love for us. He is our shepherd, we are his sheep. As a loving relationship, intimate loving relationship, he doesn't want to let us go. That's how we treat our friends. That's how we treat our dear pets. Dear friends and brothers and sisters, you may have gone through some dark hours, but God cherish your heart. God cherish your life. This is how we cherish all the same things, similar things. He is our shepherd. We are his sheep. So cherishable. So he so loves us. Intimate relationship. So Pastor Randy and the team, would you please come back up? I want to encourage you, don't be afraid. When you have something going on in your life, don't be afraid. God is with us. Nothing can take us from our relationship with God. He is faithful. And Isaiah, I like this verse very, very much. Would you please read with me together? So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He will strengthen us. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. He's with us all the way in our life. Just like shepherd and the sheep. Even though it cost him everything, but he always awaits us to respond to him. To respond to him. Maybe you don't have a chance to accept Jesus Christ. He's your Savior. And he's your Lord. And this morning, it may be your chance. Maybe God is knocking on your door. Say, son and daughter, come home. I've been waiting. I've been waiting. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. If you have never get a chance to accept Jesus as your Lord, this morning it might be your chance. I'm going to ask everybody, close your eyes and bow your head. And if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and he wants to walk you through the darkest of your life. Maybe you have some heavy things in your life. You want Jesus to help you, to walk you through. He is with you. He is faithful. He wants to save you. He wants you to respond to him personally and intimately. He wants to sit with you, and you will know him, and you will hear his voice. He will be your Lord, and he will be your shepherd. He will never forsake you and leave you. If you, friends, if you hear this calling, you want to say, Jesus, I want to believe you. I want to say, please forgive me. Forgive of my sin. Forgive of my past. You don't want to, you are not to condemn my past, but you want to save me. I want to give you my hands. If you have this calling in your life right now, would you please raise your hands? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else upstairs? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being my shepherd. Be my Lord. I never know you before. But help me. Draw me closer to you. Help me. Show me who you are. I will walk with you. Please forgive me. Forgive my sins. Forgive my past. You love me. You'll never leave me. Never forsake me. You will lead me in my life. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.